with me at the ninth verse. Oh, hallelujah. Great God Almighty. You know, there are a lot of studies of history of war, and I'm not going to talk about war. A lot of studies of histories of war, but I must confess to you, the Civil War has never been one of my interests. Maybe yours hadn't been mine. You've got your reasons. I have mine. Most likely you'd agree with the reasons that I would have. And I would not disagree with you if you had a great desire for the history of the Civil War, because I'm certain you have your reasons. But for my reasons, saints, it's distasteful for me to look back on a time when brother fought brother in this nation. I see no honor in that. Now, there were moments of great honor when men gave themselves for the purpose of God in that awful war. Learned men on both sides of the line would say, what a distasteful travesty that we have occurred in our great nation. Some choices were to be made. But tonight I want to talk to you about a confederacy. A confederacy. The danger of a confederacy when God says no. That's the theme. The danger of a confederacy when God says no. Amen. To know the mind and the will of the Spirit of God. I want to give you some background in this message. This is a bit unusual direction from which we'll be coming from. Not unusual into which we'll be going. But we're drawing this out of some very uneasy times, very difficult to perceive, to understand. I want to take you into some background for this for just a moment. This is a difficult time for the nation of Israel. Sin is rampant throughout the line. It has come to a time of judgment against sin, and God has sent the Assyrians against the nation of Israel. It is an imminent thing that it is on the horizon. It is about to transpire that Assyria will come in with great devastation over the land. And now men must make up their minds as to where they're going to stand in the midst of these circumstances. And the church must always make up its mind in these times. God will speak in the time of crisis. Do you believe that? Amen. If God will speak in the common hour, I can tell you He will speak in the time of crisis. It's necessary that Israel should hear a word from God. Now, whether they'll heed or obey it is in the part of man. But on the part of God, He's never lacking on His part. If there is an ear to hear, there is a God who will speak. He has a word for an ear to hear. Amen. He will speak in this crisis hour. Now, what is this word that comes from God? What will God say? What will He speak to us? What direction will He provide for the church in that hour? What will He say to the men of God? What will He say in a prophetic utterance? Saints, we're yet to see displayed in this land that brings us to the necessity where we're waiting upon a word from the man of God. I'll tell you, this hour also possesses the man of God. Can you say thank the Lord? Every hour possesses the man of God. There's never been a generation of the church, 400 years of spiritual darkness. Another time, Eli in the Old Testament turned the lights out in Israel. But in behind the scenes, God is working on a voice He can raise up. There's never been a crisis hour out of which God did not speak with a voice. And as we come into these closing days, I can tell you that God is going to speak again. You believe that tonight? He has a sure word. But what is God going to say? What is He going to say? Now, I want to take you here for the next little while in this passage from chapter 8. You would have to read some of the chapters prior to this. But I want to take you here to verse 9 of chapter 8. Begins here. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Now, written over in the side margin of this text, this is a warning to Isaiah, and he to the people. not to be confederate against Assyria, for it shall not stand. Let me go on, verse 10. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Verse 11. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Father, tonight, God Almighty, we come before you in this hour. Lord, this is a very specific, very important hour in the life of the church. It's very necessary that we be a people prepared, made ready, having heard with hearing ears the voice of the divine God. Lord, help us to be quick, ready in that holy place, shut in with God in that sanctuary of prayer. Let us be of that nature of people. Help us to have keen hearing. God, help us to have a sensitive spirit to the voice of God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd work your work in this hour. Speak in this hour. Give revelation in this hour. Bring to pass according to your mind in this hour. We ask for that anointing to preach now and to receive. We'll give you the thanks for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The saints, in this moment, this is a very difficult place for any person to stand. The nation of Israel is about to be overrun by the Assyrians. They're coming up. They will cover the land as the locusts cover the earth. They are an army indifferent to men, women, and children, the aged as well as the baby. They will come in and engulf the land. It is God's mind. These are God's desire. This is God's tool and God's sword. It will cover the land. Now, we find ourselves. Here's the man of God. He has been birthed. He's grown up. He is confederate in his own thoughts and ideas with the people of the land. This is his home. This is where he's made his living. This is where he's been educated. This is where he's bought and sold goods. This is where he's purchased or built his home. This is where he raises his food. All of this, his friends were among those of this country. This is who he calls his kindred and his own. He has both mother and father, sister and brother, in-laws here. All of this, surrounded by this, there must be a word from God for this hour. Where does the man of God stand in this moment? Saints, the church is to stand at any moment, in any hour, in the position to hear from God alone, not to be mixed with the quagmire of the circumstance nor the situation. Therefore, the church must always retain the ability to step out of the surroundings and slip into a certain holy place where we can hear from God all by ourselves and Him all alone. You and I must retain the ability that no matter the crisis, no matter the circumstance, no matter the hour, that we are not moved to the place where we see life horizontally, but we see it vertically. Amen. That we hear, we have a keen ear to hear, not what the masses desire, not what we feel like they want us to say, or want us to hear, or want us to preach, or want to for us to convey, but we must have that ability to slip into a holy place to hear from God Himself. Amen. In so doing, saints, we prove again that we're in a world that we're not of. Come on, church, that there is a people who do know their God. This man has come to that crisis moment. They're looking to this man of God. You know, when push comes to shove, saints, there's going to be a time very likely in this great nation that we call home when people are going to begin to turn their eyes to the church And they're going to discard all of this facade. I don't want anything to do with that. Don't preach me that. You've been preaching that all along. Don't sing that song. Don't counsel me that. I'm looking for the man of God. I'm looking for a woman of God. I'm looking for something real. I'm looking for somebody that'll tell me the truth. I can see him going through the crowd looking for an Isaiah. Let me get down there where Isaiah is. I left his church 25 years ago, but through the grapevine, I hear he's still serving God. Now they're coming back to find Isaiah. Let's hear what this man of God has to say. In that moment, saints, the church must have a word from the Lord. It must have. Irresponsive to the circumstance around it, it must have a word from God. Now, what is Isaiah going to say? Now, in our minds and our thoughts, here we are in this time. If there were a nation to come in, we would gather ourselves. We would gather. You know, here in Texas, we've been trying to separate ourselves from America for the last several years. You know, there have been times I've wanted to put the same bumper sticker on my automobile. I'm with you. Let's go. I'm telling you, see enough there. I mean, if anybody in political offices listen to this, I'm not going to edit this. I can tell you what's on the thoughts and the minds. Saints, but no matter what's on my thought or in my mind, I've got to walk straight according to the will of God. And there have been multiplied times in my life when I wanted to do one thing, but the Spirit of God wanted to do another. And I better get this out of my head and keep my feet where they belong. Come on, church. Amen. I can tell you, Isaiah had to wrestle this word through. Bible says nothing of his wrestling to say it, but I can tell you he was a man. The Bible says that such men were subject of like passions like Elijah. But he prayed that it might not rain. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. He's subject, though, to like passions as we are. Saints, I can tell you he had to pray this thing through. They want to confederate themselves. Let's join arms. Let's join bands. Let's stand up against this. Let's create a militia that can stand up against this onslaught. We have strangers and aliens coming into this land. After all, we are God's people. Isn't it amazing how we become God's people when we're in trouble? They fly into our buildings in 2001. What do? We're standing on the White House steps singing the songs of the church. Because we're God's people. Just give us a little while long. We're building mosques just down the streets from where it took place, or an endeavor to do so. Hear me, church. What a critical time and an hour. God has a word in such an hour. What will he say at such a time? What will his word, what will proceed forth from the mouth of God? Now, Isaiah has to speak God's voice. Oh, my. Can you imagine laboring over this word in the prayer closet? All of a sudden, God says a definite word. He says, do not confederate with those who say a confederation. I'm not with that. I'm against it. He says, in effect, to Isaiah, what's coming into the land may be an enemy to you, but it is the tool in my hand. I'm going to use the Assyrian to judge this nation because of its sin. You must preach. Do not confederate yourself. If you do, it will be broken. Now, saints, can I tell you, I'm going to tell you that to those listening on, looking on, and say that's everything but patriotic. That's against every rule. That's not politically correct for the time. You're breaking the back of the people. You're ruining the morale. Saints, in that most crucial hour, the church must have a word from God. You don't get that overnight. You've prayed something through in your life. You've walked with God to come to that place where God can find you in a prayer closet somewhere and give you a definite word. I can tell you, all heaven's going to have to surround this man of God. When he speaks, heaven's going to have to come down as a sword in his soul, his iron inside of his being. Church, in this hour that looms before us, the church must arise to this occasion. We must come to this place. Hear me. He goes on to say, verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Church, we're worried about walls Street, and we're worried about the Muslims, and we're worried about war on every hand. We're worried about Syria tonight, and are we going to war? And what will the Russians do if we go to war? We're worried about the finances of the land. We're worried about all of these things. God says to us in this time, that is not your crisis. If you've got a fear to be feared, let it be the fear of a divine God. Oh my God, fear him. him and dread him. Let him be your choice. If you believe it, can you shout amen? Hallelujah. Let him be your fear. To be afraid to be out of the will of God. To be afraid to say other than what God would say. To be afraid to do other than what God would do. Saints, there are times we assume upon the will of God. We imagine upon the will of God. We ponder the will of God. This is not that hour. This is not the time for assumption when it comes to the will of God. This is the time of absolute knowing. Absolute knowing. You don't do something because you don't see something. Come on, church. You don't do something because you don't see something. You do it because it's the will of God. You don't do something because you don't like something. You do it because the will of God. You don't do something because you have friend or enemy. You do it because it's the will of God. You don't do something because it's summer or winter. You do it because it's the will of God. You don't do something because you have or you lack. You do it because it's the will of God. This is not the time for anything more nor less. It must be according to the will of God. Isaiah set himself up against everything that stood in his way. He set himself up to speak the word of God alone. Can you imagine the ramifications of such a thing? Can you imagine, saints, if we set up a flatbed trailer out here in the parking lot of this church, stood up there and you assembled yourself out in that parking lot, not like it when it was 100 degrees here a few years ago and we set up out here in the side because of the heat. But I'm talking about set up a flatbed trailer out here in the parking lot and begin to preach against the ills of this land. Saints, I'm not standing foot on any flatbed trailer. I'm not preaching against anything until God says do it. Amen. When God says do it, you do it. Amen. I'm not giving any false pretense of myself. I'm not trying to be a railer and an accuser. I'm not here to point my finger at all the ungodliness of the world. Saints, I'm here as a pastor of this church to get God's people ready. Amen. But in getting us ready, saints, we must assume and take up a position. That position has an ability to hear and to know and to do. Not just to hear, but to know and to do and to walk in and know the will of God. There comes an absolute time in your life, you got to know that you know that you know that you know. And I'm not talking about your salvation. Come on, saints. You ought to have that taken care of a long time ago. But what you're doing for God or not doing for God, where you're going or you refuse to go, what you're saying or you're keeping silent to, there comes a time you've got to know that you know that you know that you know. I don't care if I agree with you or your friends agree with you or your buddies agree with you or your family agrees with you. You've got to know in your knowing, not because you think or you hope or you imagine or it sounds like a good idea, but you better know that you know that you know that you know. Come on, saints. Only the thing that comes as the knowing of God will stand in the last hour. There's no room for anything else. Isaiah had to speak a true word from God. Verse 12, he said, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. You know, as we come into this hour, there's a lot of things to be afraid of. You notice that? There ain't a lot of things to be afraid of. A whole lot of stuff. There's uncertainty of the future, certainty of the economy. Now we've got a choice to make concerning Syria and what we're going to do there. Young men, that's my son's buddy on his job, his friend's ready to go to Syria. Their troop already packed. They're ready to go, just deployed. One moment's notice, they're ready to go. That's how close this thing is. That's to be afraid of. Amen. But they institute the draft. I got a couple of boys I could lose overnight. That's to be afraid of. That's all of that. I mean, fear's always waiting outside the door. I mean, come on, church. Fear's everywhere. You pick up on it, invite it in, it'll come in. Take up abode in the house. Amen. These are contemplations. Saints, to be aware of. But what do we do in the face of these things? How do we assume? How do we assimilate? How do we get ourselves? What militias do we create? I mean, what arms do we bear? You know, we begin to think about these things. I love this apocalyptic idea. We've got people buying retired missile silos, putting in the ground livable places where people can hide themselves from the thing coming on the earth. My God, if it's the will of God, I hope the bomb strikes 120 Pentacle Circle, my whole family is at home. I mean, let's just get thing done, go on. Not because I want, but if it hits me, I won't know it. Woo! I don't want some maligning thing that'll wear out the saints. No, no. I'm not here waving, oh, my God, let's fight the war of God. Oh, no, 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 no. I've got too much flesh inside of me that wants to live. Come on, saints. I've got too much inside of me that wants to care rather than contend. I don't want to give up anything. I'm not interested in sacrificing anything. But this thing has to be overcome. I cannot dismiss the realities in my life for the things that I see. I have to overcome the realities in my life. You and I must overcome that. Isaiah, I believe with all of my heart, never wanted to open his mouth and utter such a statement of the Word of God. But he had to overcome Isaiah, realize who he was in God. It wasn't Isaiah's word. This was the voice of the Lord. That's not Isaiah's message. We write the book of Isaiah. But this man was moved by God in the Old Testament to prophesy the word of the divine God. Saints, it didn't come down to what we think or what we hope. It comes down to the matter of walking in, being, confiding, living inside the purpose and the dynamic of the wholeness of who God is. Many times people would say, Pastor, you're preaching a premature message. You'd think that there's troops moving outside the city. Saints, can I tell you, if I preach it then I'm preaching it away too late. My God, I've cared nothing for your soul. Saints, I'm not telling you arm yourself for what waits outside the door. I'm telling you there is hell that's moved in against the church. His intention is to destroy and to malign. If he can cast you in the bed of laziness and ease, you and I'll fail to be ready for the hour that is upon us. What is the necessity of that time? You need not worry against that hour. You need not be consumed by the headlines. You don't have to listen to CNN to be ready. No, no, saints of God. You don't have to be worried about the apocalypse. He said, let me be your fear. You fear God. You dread God. You hear the voice of God and walk in it. Everything you need will be supplied. What I tell you is a certain fact. I know what's coming, and you'll be made ready if you believe it. Can you shout amen? Saints, such words to be received can only be retrieved by those who've made themselves ready, who've placed themselves in a position to hear from God, to walk in that ability to hear, sensitive, tender to the voice of God. This is real. Anybody know this is real, church? This is real. This Christian experience is real. My, I don't want to go to heaven floating on a cloud, plucking on a harp myself. Saints, we got that silly idea. Oh, let's go home where it's all peaceful, sit up there and pluck on a harp and float on a cloud. This thing is real. We talk about the big man upstairs. No, no. He's God the Father, the great I am, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Holy of Holies. Oh, his spirit can be seen in the wheel, in the midst of the wheel, eyes enfolding. My God, the cherubims moving together at once, having foreheads, wings joined together. Oh, my God, they move at lightning's notice. Oh, out of the seven spirits, the lamps of God that stand before his holy presence. Oh my, that throne. Oh, hallelujah. Saints, he's got a footstool. It's called E-A-R-T-H. Come on, church. It's but his footstool. I'm talking about the great God Almighty. There's no way I can elucidate on him tonight. But saints, I'm talking about he who is constantly and at all times in control. If you believe it, can you shout amen? Fear him. Fear him. Fear him. Many would take up the position in the church. Saints, there's a lot of people today spend a lot of time on the book of Revelation in this hour trying to prepare their people for the things that are coming. I'm fully convicted if our spirit is not ready, you can get our heads ready all day long. Until that spirit's ready, you get that ear open, saints. It'll hear what it needs to hear when it needs to hear it. Oh, come on, church. I don't want to be reading you the funnies when it's time to read something else. But when it's time to read the funnies, I want to read the funnies. Come on, son. You know, I look back. I remember one thing stood out in my mind. I don't know what you feel about George Bush, the first George Bush. It didn't make any difference. That's not the point. George Bush, something stood out in my time. In some of the crisis situation of his presidency, he would go to his vacation spot in Maine. I forget the town. Go to there in Maine. He'd be there, wherever it was. In Maine, he'd go there. He'd spend time. Every time as a young man who wasn't caught up politically, I would think to myself, that's a wise man. Others may perceive that he was in a time of recline. Never believe that. I believe that man meant to clear his mind. In a time of recline. Says, let me tell you, all hell can march against the church. And God say, come away, my child, rest for a time. Oh, he told Elijah, he said, you've preached. It ain't going to rain till I say it's going to rain. There's about to come upon this land 3.5 years of drought. Son, it's time to go on vacation. Come on, church. Hear me. Don't you fear them. You fear me. Amen. When Elijah was called to present himself before the king, king said, Art you he that troubleth Israel? He said, I'm not him that troubles thee, but thou and thy father's house. He said, you called me the prophets of Grove and the Baal. You were going to go up to Mount Carmel. There's a contest between God and Satan. Amen. You come there. He commanded the circumstance. Saints, can I tell you, God commands the circumstance. The disciples are in the midst of that storm. Storm everywhere. Jesus is asleep in that boat. God, who knew it was going to storm, slept in the boat. Oh, my God. You know, I forget who it was. And don't remind me now, but I forget who it was. During the time of Confederate War, is that he was sitting there in his camp, and the cannon shot made blew up right there, was it? They said, the soldier said, he didn't even flinch. I don't know if this one called Stonewall, whatever the case was, but didn't even flinch. There's a presiding effect on a man's life. His mind with other places, so little effect. Saints, you caught up in this manner of serving Christ. Walk with God. You may have investments that God has called you to invest. If that was the mind of God, don't worry about Wall Street Journal. Don't worry about it. Don't be consumed by it. If you've bought land, if you've purchased goods, if you've married a wife, whatever the case may be, if you've birthed children. I remember early on, our oldest son, now 23, I remember such preaching in times past is that we're moving into a difficult hour. Such preaching in times past are contemplation. When we bring children into this earth now, what trouble will they see? That still plays upon my mind. Perhaps my generation will go on prior to the rapture. I don't believe that too much, but you know there's always a chance. We've got a work to do in the church. Mind on that. Well, saints, it had to get over the thought, what will take place, the what ifs. I've got to walk according to the mind and the will of God. That's all you got to deal with. That's it. Once you begin to reveal that, relate that, get that in the heart, Isaiah is saying to the people, do not confederate yourself. That would break the morale of the land that would stand up against this adversary ordained by God Almighty. Saints, I believe that there are in political leadership tonight, they weren't our choice, they were God's choice. And there's no other way they would have gotten there, but they were God's choice. And for me to stand up against that, I'm not telling you I like it. I don't think Isaiah liked a bit of it. I'm telling you, it concerned him. Jonah was such a man, he didn't want to go down and preach to Nineveh. He knew what they'd ultimately do and what they'd ultimately fulfill. He didn't want to preach to those people because he didn't want them to see them repent. But God said, I don't care how you feel. You're going down there to preach my gospel. And if you don't, I'm going to put you in Wells Seminary. Come on, saints. They're going to come. If you do my will, you will preach to these people in every generation, though they be friend or foe. Saints, can I tell you tonight, there are Christians in Syria. There are men and women of God in that place that could, except for the grace of God, one day be our enemy, mortal enemy. But there are people who love God. What are they praying against America? What do they see in us? What is their perspective of the land? Saints, it doesn't come down to who we are horizontally. It comes down to who we are vertically. Amen. One of these days, you and I are going to walk side by side on the streets of gold. We're going to look over to our left and say, in another life, you spoke a Syrian tongue. Come on, church. Oh, hallelujah. In another life, you spoke an African tongue. In another life, you spoke a German tongue. And we're walking down the streets of gold together. They're going to look over at us and say, you spoke in an American tongue. But it doesn't matter anymore. Saints, the quicker we get this thing vertically rather than horizontally. Come on, church. It's what thus saith the word of the Lord. What is my fear? It is the dread of an almighty God. Saints, here tonight, I'm not worried about my salvation, but one thing that's always on my mind, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. If that's your belief tonight, lift your hands for a moment in this place. My God, give me the capacity to walk in the Holy Ghost. Give me the capacity with an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say in this hour. God, give me the voice of revelation. Let my prayer meeting be such as can break in to the holy place. If that's your desire, would you praise Him? I read on down a few verses. I'll get there by reading some others. Verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Rick Perry's not going to run again for governor of Texas. I don't care what you think about him or what I think about him. But there are some things we've enjoyed in this state because of a conservative stand. I'm not saying the man's born again. I don't know about his personal life. I'm not here to know about it. I'm concerned. But let me tell you, saints, that's not my fear. Texas has been a very hypocritical state for a number of years. We have dwelt in hypocrisy. We've claimed one thing, possessed another. Reading just something ad I got in the mail just this week. We're going to have one of the very famous artists who just passed. We're going to have a showing of some of his earlier paintings. One of his kin is going to be there signing and drawing some things, and you can pick that up. These are going to be on display at the Dallas Biblical Arts Museum following a wine tasting opportunity. Saints, this is the state we live in. I've watched this over and over again, the hypocrisy of this state. God will judge Texas because of this. So don't be surprised what you see come November, but don't fear that fear. Don't fear that fear. We're not talking about politics, saints. I have a political persuasion, but I hope and pray it's based upon the truth. I believe it is. I'm not here to tell you to be Republican or Democratic or a maverick. I'm here to tell you, fear God. Fear His fear. Let Him be your dread. Let Him walk with you, lead you, and guide you. Because if God sends this, we have people in political office today that years ago when we served God would have never gotten the first vote. They would never got the chance to be voted upon. But saints, when God has elevated, this is God who have elevated into positions in pulpits, in political office, and in the school system. Pardon me, educators. What I tell you is true and you know it. In the school system, in the military, and in the Boy Scouts. Every spectrum of life have been stained and tainted. And God will judge this nation. But don't fear that fear. You don't have to be worried about the armies of the land. You don't have to be worried about Wall Street. If God's telling you to buy a house, buy a house. And if God's telling you to buy a car, buy a car. If God's telling you to marry a husband, marry a wife, you marry, birth children. You go and do what God's told you to go and do. But if God says stop in your tracks and adhere to my voice, you do exactly that. To the left or to the right, He says go, you go and do that. You fear Him. Let Him be your dread and your fear. Let me go on. Verse 14. He shall be for a sanctuary. Somebody said, God is my sanctuary. But for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now hear me, church. Here you are. God's taking care of you. And you're prophesying they're going to be judged. You're the child of God. God's taking care of you. You've got food to eat. You've got drink. You've got a roof over your head. You have your necessities. God's taking care of you. On your left and your right, people are losing, being separated, being destroyed, being maligned, being cut off. All of these things. Watching this. This is Isaiah prophesying this. God's taking care of the man of God. He's walking in this. Saints, for the world to look on, they'd say that was a time of joy, but not inside the heart of the man of God. Isaiah's broken when he's blessed. Come on, saints. It is not something that he retrieves to himself as an honor, but he is broken when he's blessed. Oh, my God. I see the people of the land suffering, and yet, God, you're taking care of me. God, I see trouble on every hand, but you are my sanctuary. You're my alcove of blessing. You're the ministry to my life. So will God be in this hour. You're going to find, saints, when God's blessing and taking care of you, that there will be a pain inside the heart of the church, because they know that is the judgment of God transpiring. You cannot stand as an alias along that time, but you must stand as a clear delineating voice of the divine God. Verse 15, many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. We're seeing this in the church. Can you say amen? Anytime you read of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, you're reading about the church in the New. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, listen to verse 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Saints, says God is raising up a church for the hour that is set to be a sign and a wonder in the earth at large. Set as an example. Set as the word of God. As an offset to the things that we see. Saints, the church must come into such an hour to be given such a voice, such a spiritual reality. It's not about what you think. It's not about your past experiences. It's not about what you hope you know. It's not about what we think we know. It's about the ability to hear the voice of God, to be able to break through in the prayer meeting and touch God. Pastor, you preach on that all the time. I don't, but it sounds like it. My God, to be able to break through in prayer, to touch God so you can walk with God. Saints, there are going to be times God has to speak to you and you're not in a prayer meeting. You're walking in life and doing responsibility and taking care of duty, but there's got to be a spiritual attraction, my God, a keen ear to hear what the Spirit of God say, a quickening of the Spirit so that you may dread and fear God and walk before him in the midst of this earth. If you believe it, can you shout amen? So must we be. It's not a confederacy according to the world. When God says no, don't you confederate. I'm almost through. Saints, it's difficult to be right in the midst of wrong. It's easier to be wrong when everybody else is wrong. It's easier to be right when everybody else is right. I'd rather us all be right, hadn't you? And if everybody's wrong, it's easier just to assume a wrong for yourself. That's a lie. If God's put a right in you, you're not a testimony of wrong, but of right. That's painful. Let me tell you now, being right in the midst of a world that's wrong is painful. It's painful for right. It'll cost you to be right, church. First of all, nobody's going to believe you. You hear me? That's what Moses said. Nobody's going to believe me. Who am I? Go down and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Nobody's going to believe you. But if God's called you for the purpose of speaking his word, the I am will go with you. And to provide the sanctioning power and the believability, these signs shall follow them that believe. You believe that tonight? Come on, church. It's difficult to be right in the midst of a world that's wrong. And it's more difficult the closer wrong gets home. Did you hear me? I said it becomes more difficult the closer wrong gets home. Saints, most of the church in this hour who walks, desires to walk in that truth, is experiencing more pain in that area than have had at any other time in their life. Wrong has become so near home that it's become very painful. You know, it's one thing to see enemy out there when it's got a strange face, but when all of a sudden you see the enemy inside the house. Come on, church, do you hear me tonight? that becomes very painful. Then it becomes very painful to be right when they're wrong. Do you hear me? Saints, I'm not talking about something pretty. I'm talking about something real. It's very painful to be right when they're wrong. Sharing this afternoon with our brothers there that, you know, it's an amazing thing. You would think, my wife has shared this with me lately, God dealing with her heart. When somebody is blinded or so dimmed in vision, has very little light, you would assume that if you bring that life-giving resource to them, they would be very happy to have it. But when you turn the light on where it's dim, oh, turn that off. Saints, when you see that grimace come over the face that are nearest home, that's painful. When you've got to deal with those nearest to the house, and that touches, oh my God. Remember, you have no right to the soul unless you love them. You believe that? That's there. You're going to stand in a painful... Isaiah stood in this place for his nation. It looked in every effect that he was putting his hand with the Assyrians against his own people. Now, did you hear me tonight? And it's going to look in every effect that you've set yourself up as an enemy against those who your family and who are your friends. But saints, if war comes that close, you've got to fear God and you've got to dread God. You have to make him first no matter what. You've got to walk through those places. He'll be a sanctuary to you. I'm coming to a close. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Zion. That means he's dwelling in the church. Mount Zion is that church. For signs and wonders, a delineating force, a line drawn. My God, a line drawn. Here it is. War has come this close. It matters. It's this important. Now we're this close. It's a difficult place and a difficult hour. I just want you to close yourself from the Lord. I'm going to close this out this way. As we're shut in with God across this room, just every eye closed, just shut in with God in this place tonight. Father, you are speaking to us in this room to fear and to dread you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Not a man. Not a circumstance. Not the governments of this world, not the economy, not the weather, not science, not medicine. None of these things are our fear. You're calling us to be men and women of God who have placed our conclusions in things eternal. We've set our affections where they most certainly must belong. Father God Almighty, give us, your people, a delineating spirit as to realize we're in a world we're not of. God Almighty, you know all about our lives. Father, you've seen. I have had drive and dream. Lord, I'm not just talking for me. I'm talking for folks sitting in this place tonight. We live here and we call this home. Have aspirations, pursuits, dreams, and desires. Father, if we walk in the will of God, we don't have to fear nor dread. One would say, you shouldn't have. I've had many people as of late tell me, oh my, just the other day somebody told me, said, well, God's probably going to come before that church gets built. I said, no, he won't. Oh, my, I said, no, he won't. He's coming very soon, but he will not preempt his own will. There is a work to do. Saints of God, there are those that say to you, don't you see the uncertainty of the times? Why should you set yourself in such a manner to be far-reaching into those things that are before? Because, saints, when it's the will of God, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Men will bring his fear to you, try to put it into your head. You fear God and dread God. You find that in the holy place. Dear child of God, I say to you tonight, child of God, have within yourself the ability to escape this world and come into a holy place and hear heaven speak. He'll send you back into a world to minister as you should. The ability to find God's word in a holy place, shut in with God, to know what the will of God is for the hour. I'm going to ask my wife to come to the piano. Would you stand with me tonight across this building? All over this, but would you stand as we're shut in with God in this house? Oh, hallelujah. God Almighty, no, not a confederacy when God says no. Oh, my God. Lord, help us to hear from you. God, help us to walk in your will. Help us to do that which is right in your sight. As you're shutting with the Lord tonight, saints, God knows where you are. He knows what your world is dealing with. He knows the path of your life. He knows what the future holds for you. He knows what He's saying to you. You and I must know that ourselves. What is God saying in getting you ready? What is God doing and preparing and making essential in your life? As you and I are shut in with God, I want you to begin to pray with me across this room. Father, I want to be prepared for the hour. I don't look back to the past. I'm finding more and more can't do that. I don't trash my past. I'm standing upon the shoulders of great men and women of God who've led this way before me. Timothy had a mother and grandmother that served God. But it was required of Timothy, challenge of the Holy Ghost, through the Apostle Paul. Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's in you. You can't live as second generation saints. God didn't have any grandchildren. You've got to have a first generation experience. Can you touch God all by yourself? In every generation of the church, there had to be within it an ability of the people to touch God. Can you do that? In every world war, in this awful civil war that took place in our country, there were still within that generation the people who could touch God. Oh, Savior, help us tonight. Father Almighty God, saints of God, we need something real. We need a church that can break through. To have that, we've got to have men and women that can break through. People who can touch God. Not our opinions, not our thoughts or our ideas, what somebody's plugged into our head, but what we prayed through in an altar. Can you stand? Can you stand by yourself? Much of the church today can stand as long as they're surrounded. They can't stand by themselves. God didn't call you to stand by yourself, but He wants to give you the ability should you have to. The church is a member of a body. You and I are members in particular. Church is not you, it's not me. It's us. There's a long line of people heading home. You've got a call of God on your life. You can't build every portion of the wall, but you've been called to build your portion. Oh my God. You're shut in with God tonight in this place. The challenge before us through this message is saying to God, will you fear God? Will you walk with God? Will you place yourself at such an advantage to hear God speak in any hour? Will you refuse to be caught up with the things of this world? Saints, as you do that, there's going to come times in your life you'll find you're more of an enemy than a friend. If you walk with God, saints, you're going to be the adversary of those who do not or refuse to do so. You'll become an adversary to the lethargic, to the lackadaisical, and the whimsical. To those who'd rather look back to the past and rather than into the will of God, you'll become an adversary. You'll stand as a dividing line. Isaiah found himself in such a difficult hour. In the large scope of an entire nation. You may not be called to that hour in such largeness of scale, but it is very likely when you give yourself thoroughly to God, He'll use you as a dividing line, even among those that are nearest to the house. That's a difficult time. Tell you the truth, saints, I'd rather just choose wrong with them. Not I want to walk wrong, but it's hard to be right when you're surrounded by wrong. Oh, God, you've got to handle right very carefully. You've got to have the wisdom of God to be right when you're surrounded by wrong. Oh, God. But you've got to know what's right in that hour. Isaiah had to know the voice of God in such an hour. So must you and I. You've got to know this. The challenge before us tonight, church, you must know the voice of God. You must know my voice. God speaking to us in this hour. Through the voice of the Holy Ghost, you must have the ability to hear what the Spirit of God is revealing to the church. That which proceeds from God the Father. God the Holy Ghost is making us aware of God the Son. Oh, my God. What would He have us do and live out this hour? Who would He have us be? You're not going to pray all this prayer that needs to be prayed tonight, but you can align yourself to it. You can set yourself in the way to say, God, I position myself in the court of the Lord. I show up at the time appointed to receive from you, not standing out in the outer court of the Gentiles, but God, I show up in the holy place that's been given to me as an advantage to hear the voice of God in this hour. Saints, I want you, that your desire tonight, you'd walk with God. Lord, I want to know your voice in the critical hour, not just then, but having exercised myself that even in the critical hour, I can know the voice of God. Lord, I want to exercise myself in the ability to hear God speak. I want to walk with you in the place where the church must. Father, if necessary, this is the difficult prayer that I want you to pray. Don't pray it unless you mean it. God, tonight, if it should so become necessary that I become the dividing line, even among those nearest to my life, and I should be chosen by God to stand in that place, then I say first of all to you, Lord, I will fulfill that position. And secondly, I would say to you, God, please give me grace. Give me the tenacity and the boldness. Father, when fear would grip my soul, saints, there's going to be time when you stand up against the face of the world, fear going to take a hold. It'd be like a hard wind blowing in your face. Stand strong in that hour, for God will make you an adamant stone. Set your face like flint. He'll cause you to overcome. And if you can overcome, perchance you'll breathe life into those who are at present your adversary. But you must stand in that hour. That's your desire to do the will of God. I want you to come stand across this altar and lift your hands in this place. Come on, church. We're going to come down here and seek the Lord. If you're kneeling in prayer, you just go ahead. But you come here in this place, let's fill this altar with folks hungry for God. You just obey God wherever you are. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands across this house. Father, we attend this altar tonight. We're standing in this holy place. The saint and God, you you may not know this, could be very well that in the throne room of heaven, what God sees tonight is just you and nobody else, each individual. You stand in the very throne room of heaven accepting spiritual ideas and spiritual responsibility, taking upon yourself the desire of a divine God and say, I will, Lord, I will. God, give me the capacity to do as I've been called to do, to stand in the place where I've been called, to hear such words of truth and of life. Oh, God, to be that delineating line as is called. Saints of God, I'm not praying and asking you to take an easy position. This very likely may be the most difficult place you've ever asked God to give you power to become. This may be the place you need the greatest amount of grace that you've ever asked God to give you in the entirety of your life. For these things strike nearest the heart when you must stand for God, having heard God's voice. Be that delineating voice, that dividing line, and speak that truth that is God. You must be willing and able to take that position. You cannot do it because you want to do it. You can only do it through obedience. As God gives command, you give the amen. You march in that, not because you want it or you see the need. You cannot hold up under this adversity. You cannot stand. You will lose this battle. But when you give yourself to God, you'll go at God's charges. You'll go come under God's anointing. You'll wear His signet. You'll carry His voice. You'll be His word. You'll draw the line of God and of heaven. You will speak the truth. Oh, my God. That's your desire. Let's seek Him in this place as she begins to sing. Oh, hallelujah.
Goodbye.
that ground. You don't wait on the call to go, to move on in. You be standing where the call can be given. So move on in tonight. Possess the ground. Come to the place where the call, your name is called, but here am I, is ready. You've been marked off. You're in the waiting place. You're walking with God. Come on in tonight. Occupy the space. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. This altar, as if you've dealt with God at the altar. And I want you to move in some direction and pray there as if you're going somewhere to do something. Oh my God, you move in that direction. Lord, I've been to the altar. Now I'm moving to a direction. And you pray that. You see that geographically. You see the face. You see those people right where you are. You've gone to them. You're there tonight. You're not there physically. You're not there geographically. But your spirit has moved in on them. Oh, you've set up camp. You've drawn a line. Oh, you've come to be reckoned with for God. You've come to speak for God. Oh, hallelujah. Come on in and possess the place tonight. Occupy that area God's calling you to. Let your spirit fully occupy it. Cover the ground. Possess that whole place. Be enlarged. Be full to occupy that whole ground. God will empower you in that area. He will anoint you for that use if you'll give yourself to God for the purpose. Oh my God. Reach out and broaden yourself for God. Let Him use you to full capacity. Don't be shut in by yourself. But through enlargement and obedience to God, be enlarged to do the work He's called you to and to the people He's called you to do it with them.
Oh. Oh, we need Your Spirit, God.